after Jesus had risen and after them boys had went into hiding, things got rough for a while. Things got a little bit stormy for the crowd. The disciples, they had to hide away because the same people that put Jesus on the cross wanted to put all them on the cross also. And listen, we all got our cross to bear. Even in nowadays time, I've been looking at this text and I've been wondering how much of this I wanted to read. I really want to read all of it, but I want to try to cut time. So I'm going to just read until I feel like stopping. It'll just be either I'll read all of the first chapter, or I'll just read some verses of it. Amen. Amen. Let's read. And the word of God reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." And that's like them jokers, they got you in all this trouble and they sleeping. You know what I'm saying? It's like the cheating spouse. They laying over there sleeping like a baby and you standing up looking at the wall, looking at the top of the ceiling, can't fall asleep. It's like that bad child that has you pacing the floor because they're hanging out in the streets, but they're having the time of their lives. And so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so, that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said unto every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I'm going to stop right there. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you do. Now, Lord, we're at that moment. An imperfect man trying to deal with perfection. And I'm trying to deliver perfection to imperfect people. And Lord, we know that it's impossible without you. But we have you to do all things. Now, Lord, help us as we go through this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you from the subject today, saved in the storm. Y'all say that with me one time. Saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This storm that Jonah finds himself in today, there are many different ways that we could approach the storm. We could look at the storm, Pastor, from Jonah's disobedience that caused the storm. God commanded Jonah to go up to Nineveh, but Jonah, the text says, chose to go down to Joppa from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, anytime, God commands us to do something, Bishop, and we don't do it, we just like Jonah. We headed in the wrong direction. God have commanded every man in this place to repent. Guess what? When you don't repent, you are headed in the wrong directions. As Christians, God have commanded us to love and forgive. And whenever you are not loving and forgiving, guess what you're doing? You're headed in the wrong direction. We can't just put it all on Jonah. Jonah was headed in the wrong direction. But when we're not doing what God commands us to do, we also are headed in the wrong direction. Our disobedience from God will always cause us to try to distance ourselves from God. This has been happening since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were disobedient to God, guess what? They heard the call of God voice walking through the garden, and guess what happened? They hid themselves from God. Our disobedience from God will always cause us to try to distance ourselves from Him. When we are in disobedience, we stop praying. We stop reading our Bible. We stop coming to church. We stop talking to people who want to talk about the things of God. All because of our disobedience to God. We could talk about Jonah's disobedience that caused the storm. But we could also talk about God's discipline in sending the storm. We give the devil way too much credit these days when things go bad in our lives. Listen, the devil ain't always the one who did it. The text says God sent out the great wind. God didn't send out the great wind because he needed Jonah to go to Nineveh. God sent out the great wind because Jonah was God's prophet. That's the reason the wind went out, not because God needed Jonah to go down to Nineveh. God could have got anybody to go down to Nineveh and preach repentance. God did it because Jonah was God's child who has gotten off course, and the wind was to blow him back in the course. The wind was there to get Jonah back on track. God is like any good parent. Like any good parent. When their child get off course, the child that's stealing out of the cookie jar, the little baby, it's important for you right now to discipline that child while he's a little baby. Because now he's got his hand in the cookie jar, but years later he might be robbing an armored car. You got to take care of that right at the point where it is right now. We got to be like God who disciplined us from his children. We can look at God's discipline. We could look at Jonah's disobedience to cause the storm, or we could look at how storms displace our lives. Storms take us out of our normal routine of life, Sister Ruby. They put us in unfamiliar territory. The text says that these men were on the sea. They were sailors, guess what? And they were used to sailing the sea. And they undoubtedly had to have been in many storms many times before. But there was something different about this storm. As it is with all storms that God sent our way, this storm had them feeling like the ship was like to be broken. This storm had them feeling like they were going to lose their lives. This storm had them casting lots. When God hurls a storm our way, it takes us out of our normal routine of life. We're not used to dealing with the disobedient child. We're not used to dealing with losing our job. We're not used to dealing with an unfaithful spouse. Those things take us out of our normal routine of life. They are things that are out of our control. We could look at Jonah's disobedience that caused the storm. And we can look at God's discipline in sending the storm. And we can look at how storms displace our lives. But thanks be to God in this text today, we're going to look at how we can be delivered in our storms. God delivered Nineveh in the storm. God delivered Jonah in the storm. And God delivered the mariners all in one storm. We're going to look at how God can deliver us in the storm. Sister Patricia, the story is told of a woman who had been abducted, raped, and beaten to the point of death. And when her assailants were done with her, they tied her up with duct tape and drove her to a remote location and threw her in a ditch, leaving her there to die. And as this godly woman laid there in the ditch, she began to pray to God. And as she lay in there praying to God, the rain started to fall. And the ditch started to fill with water. And her praying then turned into complaining. She started complaining to God instead of praying to God. Lord, you're going to allow me to die in this ditch after all I've been through. I've been raped, beaten, and now I'm going to drown in the ditch. And as she laid there complaining, she noticed that the duct tape started to loosen up. And she was able to wiggle her way free. And now she goes around and tells the story of how God had to send a storm to set her free. I wonder how many people in there today got that testimony in their lives. If it had not been for that disobedient child that kept me on my knees, where would I be? If it had not been for the cheating spouse that got my eyes off of them and put them on Jesus, where would I be? If it had not been for me losing my job and taking my trust out of that and putting it in Jesus, where would I be? I was saved inside my storm. And I'm here to tell you today, like our text say, you can be saved in the storm. I didn't say you can be saved from the storm. I said you can be saved in the storm. Right while you're inside the storm, Jesus can save you. Jesus can save you. And here in our text today, we're going to look at four steps that you can take to be saved in the storm. Listen, the winds might be blowing around you now and things might be rough. It might be rough for you today. You can use these four steps to be saved in your storm. There might be a storm on the horizon, and you see it coming. You can use these four steps to be saved in the storm. Today might be a sunny day in your life, and everything is going well. Everything is all hunky-dory for you today. Put this in your spiritual bank account. Guess what? A storm is on the way. A storm is on the way. So put it in your spiritual bank account. First step we need to take in order to be saved in the storm is we need to, first of all, reverence the right God. Let's read verse 5 real quick, y'all. First, we need to reverence the right God. Verse 5 reads like this: then the mariners were afraid. When were they afraid, y'all? When the ship was like to be broken. They waited until things got bad before they ever thought to seek help. We wait till things get bad in our lives before we ever get on our knees. Our back got to be against the wall. If God don't put our back against the wall, guess what? We'll keep acting like everything is all right and all hell is breaking loose around us. They waited until things got bad. They waited until the storm got to blowing and the winds got. We do that same thing in our lives, y'all. We need to be reverencing God. First of all, we need to reverence God, first of all, because it will minimize the damage of the storm. But not only do we need to reverence God because it'll minimize the damage of the storm, but we need to reverence the right God because it will tell who we got our trust in. Let's continue to read verse 5. Verse 5 said, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto what? His God. I don't know how many mariners been on board the ship. But it makes me beg the question, how many gods it take to calm a storm? All it took was one Jesus to say, peace, be still. But they've called on many gods and the storm's still blowing. Let's not laugh at the sailors now. Because when things get blustery in our lives and the winds get the blowing, we run to mama, we run to daddy, we run to the lawyer, we run to the counselor, we run to the psychiatrist. Hey, we even run to pastor. We get the pastor. All before we go and reverence God, we run to all these different gods before we run to the true and living God. Those gods not going to be able to help you out of the storm. Not only should we reverence the right God, when Jesus found himself, him and his disciples was on a boat going across the sea, Jesus said, come on, let us go to the other side. And as they traveled to the other side, a storm kicked up. Jesus was already down in the ship asleep. But the storm got the blowing deep. And the disciples was in the storm. They could have stayed with the storm blowing. They were going to make it to the other side because Jesus told them they were going to get to the other side. So they could have rode all the way to the other side of that lake in a storm. But because somebody got the right attitude and said, you know what? We better go down here and wake up Jesus. And they went down there and said, Master, do you care that we are perishing? And it enabled Jesus to wake up and say, peace, be still. And he calmed the storm. It wasn't until they reverenced Jesus that the storm was able to be calm in their lives. And it's not going to be until you get to Jesus before the storm will ever get a chance to subside in your life. The longer you take to call on Jesus, the longer the wind's going to blow, the longer the storm going to roar. You're going to have to call on Jesus. Not only are we to the reverence the right God, step number two, we're going to have to realize the right cause. After we reverence the right God, after we get to the one who we need to get to, these sailors, they didn't know God. They didn't know God. Jonah knew God, but they didn't know God. Jonah knew him, but did Jonah call on God while the storm was blowing, while these guys was in a frantic? Did Jonah call on God? No, Jonah didn't call on God. Jonah allowed all of the damage that came to these guys to continue to happen. And he didn't think, he told them, oh, y'all could throw me overboard. Jonah, jump overboard. You the problem. You will calm the storm. Jonah didn't even pray so that these guys could get out of the storm. He let them continue in the storm. And we do that same thing. We know that our affair is destroying the marriage, but we stay in it. We know that our attitude on the job gonna cause us to lose our job, but we keep right on doing what it is we doing. The thing that's killing not just you, but everybody around you, and you allow it to keep going on when all you got to do is reverence God. But once you reverence God, then you got to realize the right cause. One step at a time, get to God first. Then you'll have to realize the right cause. Let's continue to read right there in verse 5. Right there in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were where in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and what? Was fast asleep. The storm was raging. They needed help, and they started throwing the stuff overboard. They started getting rid of stuff that was on the ship when the problem was in the ship. Come in with me. Come in and talk to me today. They were getting rid of what was on the ship when the problem was in the ship. We want to cast off. We say to ourselves, if I could just stop drinking, if I could just stop smoking, if I could just stop the whoremongering, if I could just stop going to that place and this place, and I could just stop doing this. God said, you could stop doing all that all you wanted. The problem is on the inside. I need to get what's down on the inside. I need to get to the heart of the matter. And that's the matter of the heart. God saying, I need what's causing you to go to the club. I need what's causing you to seek the alcohol. I need what's causing you to chase the women. I need what's causing you to do it. And as long as you don't give it to him, guess what? You're going to find yourself right back out there doing the same same thing you've been doing until you give him what's causing the problem. You got to give him what's causing your problem. As long as you hold on to it, D, as long as you hold on to it, guess what? The wind gonna keep blowing. Even though you done went to him, God ain't gonna get rid of it for you. You're gonna have to do it for yourself. The wind gonna keep blowing, the rain gonna keep falling, the family gonna keep falling apart, the children gonna keep going the way they going until you get it right. And here's the problem. David, when King Saul was king, and God had told Saul, listen, because of your disobedience, I'm taking the kingdom from you. But King Saul, as he went on, because David slayed his 10,000 and he only slayed his 1,000, he thought the problem was David. He was trying to get rid of David when the problem was in Saul. It was Saul's disobedience that was causing the problem. Listen, whenever Jonah was on the boat, and Jonah was the problem, but the sailors had a problem in them too. They didn't know God. God had to get the sailors to come to know him. There was something being worked out in them. Even though Jonah was the reason the wind was blowing, God still had something to do with them. Listen, your husband might be out there cheating. Your wife might be out there spending up all your money. But God still got to do a work in you. They might be causing a problem, but God trying to get your focus off of that child and put it on him. God trying to get your trust out of that job and put it in him. God trying to get your eyes off your spouse and put them on him. They might be causing the wind to blow, but God trying to do something in you. Not only do we have to reverence the right God, but then we have to realize the right cause. These guys found out in verse number 9 that Jonah was their cause, y'all. Listen, they cast lots in verse 7. They said, let us come and cast lots. And they begin to cast lots. And guess what? The lots told them who it was. Matter of fact, the lots did more than their God did. They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. And even after the lots fell on Jonah, guess what? Jonah said, I'm the problem. Jonah told them he was the cause. I'm the problem. I'm the reason the wind blowing. We stand up in here, whoever we are, and we got the trouble going on in the family, and guess what? I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Listen to me. It's one thing to know, but it's not about knowing. It's about what you do with what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. Now that we know what the cause of our problem is, we have to go to step 3, then we have to release the right things. Listen to what I'm saying. The problem, the cause, once you figure out the cause, you got to be willing to get rid of what's causing your problem. Maybe in life, for some of us, Thomas, it might be the pornography that you're holding on to. You don't reverence God. You know what's causing your problem, but you're just not willing to let it go. You're holding on to what's holding on to you. The problem with it is God still needs the heart, but what you're holding on to is what got your heart, and God can't get to it. It might just be the pornography. It might just be the drinking. That might be what have your heart all wrapped up and bound up. But until you get rid of what's got a hold of you, God can never have your heart. You got to be willing to release the right things. When these guys found out that it was Jonah who was their problem, they didn't get rid of Jonah. Jonah told them what to do. Throw me overboard. But guess what they did? They tried harder and harder to get the boat to shore. We're going to know. We're going to get this thing. And that's the way we do in life. We're going to work it out ourselves. And we do all we can to try to work out our own issues in life. We working hard as we can. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not going to work. Why? Because I've tried all I could try. I tried and I tried. But guess what, y'all? I just kept getting deeper involved. Long I tried to get rid of drinking, guess what? The more I drink. I tried and I tried, but I kept getting deeper involved. But guess what? When I turned it over to Jesus, it's only when I gave it to Jesus that I stopped worrying about it. When I gave it to him, then I was able to stop worrying about it, little preacher. I was able to let it go. When I was back there in that church, when I was getting ready, I had already made up my mind, Pastor, that I was going to get saved. I had made up my mind that I was going to get saved, D. Now, mind you, I just left the hotel, but I was going to church to get saved. True story. I'm not making this up. I was going to church to get saved. I was tired of doing what I was doing. That thing was getting on my, it had to start getting on my nerves. I got tired of lying. And so, it was getting on my nerves. I said, you know what, I'm going to get saved. And my nephew had not been talking to me. He was the pastor. And when church was starting to get over, you know when that time coming, he about to give the invitation. That time was coming. And I said, that devil started dealing with me. He said, boy, what you going to do with that beer that's sitting on your seat? What you going to do with that beer that's sitting there right on your seat? What you going to do with it? I had to think about that thing, boy. I was in love with Budweiser. I wanted to name my daughter Anheuser. I was that much in love with Budweiser. I was that much in love with Budweiser. I wanted, ask her mama, I wanted to name her Anheuser. Anheuser Dawson. After my favorite brewing company. But the devil began to deal with me. What you gonna do with that thing that's on the seat in there? Oh boy, and that phone gonna start ringing. What you gonna tell them girls when they start calling you? All of these things the devil was dealing with me. But it was incumbent upon me. I had a decision to make, Lord. Was I gonna give up what was holding on to me, or was I gonna hold on to what God was trying to take away from me? And it was in that church that I said, you know what? It's either now or never. I'm going. And I made my way to the front. And God said, son, I can now work with you. I can work with you now, son, because your heart, you did it from the heart. The heart got it right. I let that thing go. I threw it down right then. Listen, I struggled with it now. I ain't going to tell you no lie. I struggled with it for a minute. But because my heart was pure when I made the decision, God took it away from me. And it's now gone away. Listen, man, even if I had the energy to do it, I couldn't even do it no more. I couldn't do it if I wanted to do it no more. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But I was able, when a time when I could do it, I was able to let it go. I was able to let it go. I had to release the right things. I'm almost done, y'all. Step number one. What's step number one? Anybody remember? What's step number two? Realize the right call. What's step number three? Let's read. Let's start reading. I want us to see how they get out of the storm so easily. I want us to see how they get out of the storm. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up, this Jonah talking, and cast me forth into the sea, and so that the sea may be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. They kept trying and trying, y'all. It's not until you turn that thing over to Jesus. For the sea was warped and was temperous. Now, watch the process of coming out of the storm. Step one is reverence the right God. Wherefore, what they did. They cried unto the Lord. Now, they ain't crying to their God no more. They crying to the Lord now. And listen, they begging the Lord. Lord, we beseech thee. We beseech thee. They begging to the Lord. Let us not perish for this man's life. Now they getting to the point where they say, Jonah, listen here. It's either you or us. And they trying to make decisions right here. They just like I was in that church. There's a war going on. Listen, I don't want innocent blood on my hand, but guess what? I ain't trying to go nowhere myself. Listen, I ain't trying to hurt no girl deep, but I ain't going to hell for that. Hey, Budweiser, I love you, baby, but I ain't going to hell for that, Sister Ruby. I'm willing to let that go. They reverence the right God. But then it said that lay not this upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. God sent the storm. God was trying to get me to a point where I could let that thing go. And so they took up Jonah and they released what they had to get rid of. They threw it overboard. They reverenced God. They realized what was causing their problem. And guess what? When they realized it, they threw his butt overboard. Listen, they were doing all of this way in verse 14 when they could have did it in verse 5. What I'm trying to tell you is, you can get rid of your storm way earlier than what you do if you just reverence the right God, if you just realize the right cause and release the right things. You can get rid of it. You can get out of it. You can be saved in it. Here's the problem. I don't know how long God wants that storm to go on. So I didn't say you can be saved out of the storm. I can say you can be saved in the storm. It's inside the storm that they gave their life to Jesus. They called on him. And this lead, when the sea was raging, they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea. Step number 3, they released the right call. And this brings us to my final step in the process. And I'm done.